Hey, what's up? We love Burger King grill dogs. They're made with 100% beef, and they're 100%. They're so good, they make us want to sing like...
I can't believe it. Burger King made a grill dog. Made with 100% beef. Flame grilled anytime you want. You can try it in classic or chili cheese.
Flame grilled and made with 100% beef. Starting at just $1.99. Get a grill dog now at participating Burger King restaurants. Flame grilling hot dogs since 2016. Price and participation vary.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host, Carmen Amoros.
Hi, this is Carmen Amoros. Thank you for joining me today at the New York Podcasting Cafe. This is a program featuring celebrities, artists, actors, writers, authors, playwrights, public figures, and anybody who has anything educating and fun to contribute to the internet community. Thank you for joining me. Goodness gracious, I leave my children with their father for just 20 minutes to run errands, and now that I've returned, I see that my toddler is still standing on an icy mound, only now he's not wearing sweatpants. He's wearing a bathing suit. Why is he wearing a bathing suit?
I don't know.
Where is he? Where is the father of my children? Dave? Why is your son wearing a bathing suit?
Which son?
Parade magazine says if teenagers and toddlers are trying to kill me, surviving parenthood is never so funny as when Susan Koenig tells tales of the joyful chaos that life is with her four children. Susan began her career schlepping shopping bags for Washington Post fashion editor Nina Hyde. Once she learned to type, a skill she lied about to get the job, she was put to work writing features for the paper's style section. She moved on to 17 Magazine in the big 80s as a fashion, beauty, and trends editor. Think shoulder pads, mousse, and helicopter earrings. In the 90s, her twice-weekly column for the New York Post delighted millions and irritated dozens. Her articles and essays have appeared in many national publications, including Ladies Home Journal, Travel and Leisure, First for Women, and Parade. Her short fiction was published in Barbie magazine, including the tearjerker Midge's Wedding. Susan was co-host of the popular Speak Now with Dave and Susan Koenig on Sirius Satellite Radio. The motherhood columnist and her Emmy Award-winning comedian husband interviewed celebrities, athletes, and authors for 3 hours a day, entertaining loyal listeners across the country and internationally. Her first book, Why Animals Sleep So Close to the Road and Other Lies I Tell My Children, was called Brilliant, Witty, and Downright Bombeckian by USA Today. Her follow-up, I Wear the Maternity Pants in This Family, was a Parade pick in Parade magazine. Her third book, Teenagers and Toddlers Are Trying to Kill Me, is available now on Willow Street Press. Please join me in welcoming three-time author and publisher of the Willow Street Press, Susan Koenig, to the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Susan Koenig, thank you for being on my program. I'm so delighted to have you here today.
Well, thanks, Carmen. I'm really excited to be here.
Tell us about your latest book.
Well, you know, I had this book come out last year called Teenagers and Toddlers Are Trying to Kill Me, which is self-explanatory. It's based on a true story. And my husband, Dave, and I have quite a range of children from, now just graduated from college down to a fifth grader. But when I wrote the book, we had teenagers going through dating and driver's licenses all the way down to a toddler, you know, who was just getting into preschool. And
right.
Lots of crazy stories.
It must be a very interesting house. You're this, you know, prolific writer. You've really, you know, carved your niche in the world as a writer. Your husband is this three-time Emmy Award-winning comedian. What's it like in your household with the two of you and the kids? What's that like?
It's mayhem, Carmen. It's so funny. I mean, because as you said, Dave's a comedian, and I like to write humor, but I'm a writer, so I'm a little more quiet. But then the kids, get right in on the competition to be, you know, who's the funniest at the dinner table. And it gets really, really crazy.
They must get a lot of that, you know, from the two of you being in charge of your environment, you know, this, the leadership qualities and the, the competition.
I guess you could call it that, but, you know, it just is a lot of, you know, one-upsmanship and who's going to be the silliest. And, I mean, it really gets, I'm glad there's not a hidden camera in our house because it gets crazy and food fights and just silliness. And but it's never, never boring.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe with host Conan Amaros.
So how did you get started as a writer? What was it that influenced you?
Well, you know, I love to read, and, you know, I was always good in English class, and then I majored in English in college because I liked lying under trees reading poetry. I thought that was a pretty easy way to get through college. And they say if you want to be a good writer that you should read a lot. So, you know, I read a lot of great books. I was very inspired, but I never thought that I would be, you know, creating literature myself. What I did was I became a reporter, and I went to work for the Washington Post. So I felt like, well, I can use my good grammar to write about other people. And I went to work for the famous style section of the Washington Post in the 1980s, which was so fun. And I worked for a fashion editor, and I went on fashion shoots. And she was a great old crusty editor named Nina Hyde, who was, you know, kind of from the heyday of journalism, and she encouraged me to write. You know, if I would say, oh, you know, that's interesting the way the models approach this, and she would say, well, why don't you write a story about it? And she really was my mentor, and so I was, you know, within a few months of getting to the Washington Post fresh out of college, I was seeing my byline in print.
Was that the late 80s?
Yeah, we could call it the late 80s if we want to shave a few years off. But, yeah, it was the 80s. And then from there, I went on to be an editor at 17 Magazine, which was super fun to be in your 20s and working for such a young, exciting magazine like that and running around New York City and, again, with the photo shoots and the models. And it was a great time. And, I continued in journalism like that, just writing about whatever topics came along, health, beauty, fashion, style. Mm-hmm. And then I met the very handsome and talented Dave Koenig, my three-time Emmy-winning husband, as you mentioned. And we got married, and, you know, and I continued to pursue my writing. But once we started having kids, and, you know, we had three in 5 years, so, you know, I was home a lot with babies, and I just, you know, I didn't get out to cover things, and I thought, well, what should I write about? So I started writing about the children, and then that turned into my total focus. You know, I thought I was just writing about them because I had nothing else to do, but I ended up getting a call in the New York Post based on my family writing, and it was a great thing to be home with the babies and then sit down at the computer and just write about silly things that happened to us, and those turned into my motherhood books. Yeah.
That's just phenomenal.
Well, it was, you know, it's just funny how things happen, because if you had planned a career like that, I don't know if it would happen, but it's just strange how things come along. And then, you know, Dave and I were in the city with the kids, and we had so many kids in a two-bedroom apartment that we decided to move out to the suburbs. And that really inspired my first book, Why Animals Sleep So Close to the Road and Other Lies I Tell My Children, which came from our then 5-year-old daughter asking about roadkill, which she had never seen before living in the big city. And she saw some poor raccoon at the side of the road and actually asked me that question, why do animals sleep so close to the road? And I wasn't going to tell her the truth, Carmen. So I said, you know, maybe they're so used to cars that it doesn't bother them and they can fall asleep anywhere. And that became, you know, kind of my mode of, you know, because all of this, you don't want to tell kids the truth about things. Like, and when they see a movie like Bambi and Bambi's mother gets shot, you know, you don't want to tell them that. I told them that Bambi's mother went shopping and she was at the store and then she would come back. And, I mean, who does that hurt, really? I mean, everybody just goes along, that's fine. You protect the child from the sad story. And then you don't have to approach these huge topics like death and mortality.
Right. don't kids get a little bitter when they find out the truth?
Well, usually, I mean, yes, sometimes they can be a little surprised when they find out, but then they kind of realize that, it's a terrible thing that Disney puts all these movies with all these, you know, all this death, and Simba's father gets killed in a stampede, and they know that you're just trying to protect them. And with our kids, the way it worked out was the lies got passed down. So the older child would realize they were doing it for, and when their younger sibling asked, well, where's Bambi's mom? Then they would start to lie to them. So it's a beautiful, really, tradition in our family of lying to the younger generation.
Okay.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Conan Amoros.
So all in all, what is the best part of being a writer? Is it the not telling truths, or, you know, is there a little bit of everything in the mix that makes it fun?
Well, I mean, as a mom, you know, it's worked out great because I've loved being able to be home with the children and write, and although it's been challenging because children interrupt a lot, and I've hidden in closets and in the bathroom, and I spent a lot of time writing in my minivan because it's the only place I could be by myself, you know, maybe at a team practice or waiting outside school or whatever, which, you know, Carmen, when you read my books, you know that my chapters are really short because I just have to, you know, I was a newspaper columnist, so it's a certain length, but also you write, you know, kind of quick and dirty and get it done. And also, that's the way life is. It's just these short episodes, one after the other.
Yes.
So I do love that part. And then being, you know, being your own boss is a blessing and a curse because you write when you want and you do work, but then you have to be accountable. And also, when you don't work and you don't get any work out there, then you don't make any money. But it's a great thing, you know. And I think you know this. It inspired me to kind of start my own company.
Yes.
So now I have a publishing company called Willow Street Press.
You're also like a dream maker, or you create stars, you people who want to write.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm going down that road, and I'm really trying to help people tell their stories. And it's interesting because I'm my own inspiration. I did produce 3 books, and 2 I published traditionally with a big publisher in New York. And it wasn't the most satisfying experience. I felt like they could have stepped up a little bit more and helped me promote and everything. And then I thought, you know, I've done PR as well, you know, on the side, and I know how to do this, and I know everybody in New York media, and I know how to edit a book, and I know what good writing is. So
and being
like
a star writer, you have a great following too, right? You have an amazing fan base.
I do, and, you know, so many things have happened over the years. Like, I had my column, and then I had the back page of Catholic Digest for about 8 years, so I had essays in there. And then my husband, David, and I had a radio show on Sirius. For 2 years, we did live radio every day, which
is
crazy because I had a baby at home. I don't even know how we did it, but we had a husband and wife show. We had all our comedian friends on, and it was so fun, and we did have a very big following. And so now what I'm doing is I decided to start publishing people's books, and I thought, well, where will I find these people? But luckily, they've come to me, and I started with 2 comedian friends, Tom Cotter and Carrie Louise. Very funny comedians, both had books. Tom, who was a finalist on America's Got Talent and almost won and then lost to a dog act, has a very funny book called Bad Dad. That's terrible parenting advice and very silly fatherhood jokes based on his act. And then coincidentally, his beautiful wife, who is a great comedian in her own right, Carrie Louise, wrote this book called Mean Mommy, and it's very, but it's also got a great point to it because, as you know, the mean mothers, the ones with the rules, actually raise the best kids because, you know, we're so tough on them that they grow up to be pretty good people. So she's got a funny overarching thing about being 2 comedians married with 3 boys, and it was crazy life. They're always trying to get to gigs, and all these mishaps happen. It's very funny. And then she's got this great parenting advice as well. So this year I published both Tom's book, Bad Dad, and then Carrie's Mean Mommy. So we definitely have a family parenting theme going on at Willow Street Press.
I know a lot of people who write. Do you take on new writers, or do you take on people who are already established?
You know, it's kind of an organic process. On my website, willowstreetpress.com, there's a way to contact me. You won't really see submission guidelines because I've been talking to people who have a story. Maybe they're not an author, but they have such a good story that I'm kind of working through the process with them. And then other people who have published before and want to write books and maybe couldn't get their next book published, or they weren't happy and they know that Willow Street can help them get it out there and promote it.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
And then also, my very handsome husband, Dave Koenig, has written a novel, which just makes me jealous because I'm the professional writer. I should be writing brilliant fiction. However, Dave wrote this very dark comic novel that will be Willow Street Press's first piece of fiction to come out, and that's also coming out this year. I feel very lucky because he wrote it a while ago, and it's called Good Luck, Mr. Gorski, and it's actually a brilliant piece, and I'm very, very excited to put it out there. Right now we're trying to see if we can get some good advance reviews because it's really quite a great work of literature, and I tried to figure out how it fits into the Willow Street Press mold because we've got this family theme, but it really is about a very dysfunctional family of kind of displaced people in New York in the early 1980s, and I think it fits in fine, and we're really excited about that. And I'm also doing our first memoir by a woman named Annette Ross, who is a mom of five who had a spinal cord injury and has kind of a harrowing tale, and yet is so inspiring and funny and positive that it's really an inspirational memoir. And that's called Where Fairy Tales Go, and that's also coming out this year.
Nice
so
title, too.
Isn't that a good title?
Yeah,
and
it really
yeah,
is.
Because I think, you know, we all have our vision of what the perfect fairy tale is, but, you know, as you know from reading Grimm's fairy tales, they often are very dark. So do you really want the fairy tale or do you want the reality? And Annette has told a great, great story of, you know, overcoming a terrible thing that happened to her and a beautiful family, wonderful husband, and five daughters. Oh, my goodness.
Five? Oh, my God. Have you read a book with five kids? Well, I guess it would be the same as with one less child like you did.
Carmen, that's exactly the point. That is so funny that you would pick up on that. How do you even write a book with five? That is so true. That is the challenge. But, you know, where do you fit it in? But that's, you know, that's what we do, and that's what life is. Mm-hmm. And I do think everybody's got a story to tell, and maybe not everybody's a writer, but then
not
we should
me.
Get some,
that's for sure.
but you know, you're a storyteller because you have this podcast, and also you sing and you express yourself, and just people need to find out what their outlet is, even if it's just passing down stories in their own family with self-publishing or with social media and everything. You see, everybody's writing their story out on Facebook every day.
True, yes. You know, sometimes I find myself writing three paragraphs worth of material on Facebook, and I'm like, heck, I could put this on my blog, or I could put this on my magazine. I had the nerve to start a little magazine myself, which is still in the developmental stages, but I don't consider myself a writer. You know, I don't know how to write. I've been around in publishing. You know, I worked for a press company and for Ziff Davis Publications years ago, but to write, oh, my goodness. And then I see the stuff that you put out and that your husband puts out. You guys are brilliant. You're just brilliant.
Well, thank you so much. But sometimes it's just, you know, in the doing of it. When I first said I was going to start a publishing company, a couple of people approached me, and I remember this one guy said, oh, I have a book about, you know, growing up in the neighborhood and the guys. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting. Let me see it. And I think he gave me about four pages and said, what do you think? And I said, I think you might want to write a little bit more if you want a book. So sometimes just in the doing. I mean, when sometimes people come to me with 150 pages, 200 pages, and they say, well, I don't know if this is anything. And I say, well, actually, this is a huge accomplishment to get 200 pages written. So you just have to see. And not everybody who writes has to be published. Not everybody wants that. Sometimes it's just self-expression, like singing in the shower. Makes people happy. They don't have to go on stage.
Yeah. One of my problems is that I cannot stop writing. I write about 10 pages worth of information, and sometimes it's too much, you know? So,
right, but that's what editors are for. You know, I think not everything comes out perfect. My three books required some editing and some tightening up and some direction. Mm-hmm. And so it is a collaboration. I mean, sometimes writing can be a lonely thing, but then once you get it out there, you need, you know, a good editor, and as I'm doing at my company, you need good promotion and marketing and focusing on, you know, who's going to read this book and how are we going to sell a lot of books. And
you already had your pulse on that from years ago, so you fell into becoming a publisher very naturally.
Yeah, it's so interesting because starting a company is kind of a daunting thing, and it's a little nerve-wracking, and I love the creative part and sitting with a manuscript and working on it and talking to writers, but then I also had to get a bookkeeper, and an admin to help me with just keeping all my paperwork straight. And so it's a lot of work, but I think it's worth it, and it's fun. It was especially fun starting with these comedians, you know, who are out there on the road and they're selling their books, and it's a really, really fun process.
So just about anybody. It could be a recipe book. It could be, like you said, autobiographical. Anybody who has something good to tell can be published.
Well, I think so. If you've got an audience out there, it's funny you should talk about recipes, because I am talking to a group of moms that come up with recipes and have a very, you know, fun approach to feeding the family. I'm talking to somebody about an adult coloring book, which are very big right now. I don't know if you know about those.
Yes,
they are so hot right now. They have them in Whole Foods. They have them in CVS. I was in the Museum of Modern Art. They had them in the gift shop. It is a really, really hot thing, and somebody came to me with a really good idea for one, so we're developing that this summer. So it's just, as you said, it's just a natural thing of how it goes along, and, you know, people can get in touch with me at willowstreetpress.com. There's my email address there, or, at Susan Koenig on Twitter. And just get in touch with me. And you know I'm on Facebook because we chat there all the time.
Yes,
and
this is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
You know, I love to hear about people. And sometimes I'll just get on the phone with a writer, and maybe they'll go another direction, or they'll get an offer from one of the big publishing houses and decide to go that way. And it's all good.
Yeah.
The more success
there
is in the publishing business,
right?
Yeah, it helps them. It helps me. If one gets away, then I'll get another one. And, you know, right now I have so much on my plate. You know, I'm really not complaining. There's just a ton going on.
You're still writing, I'm sure.
I am writing, and then I almost get jealous of my writers. I'm like, oh, they have a new book out. I want a new book out. But right now I'm concentrating on the company. But, you know, all three of my books are available on Amazon, and it was fun. I got a little press around just Mother's Day, which just passed, and it was fun to see my sales bump up there. And, you know, they still make good gifts. I just had another book party down in Washington, D.C., and a lot of people took the whole set because they make great gifts for, you know, a wedding present or for new mom or even for grandmas love them because they remember all these stories from when their kids were little.
And you know what I love about them? That you can sit on a plane, and within 3 hours' time, if you're a fast reader, you can probably get through one of your books, which is what I love. I'm not one of those people who can sit and read a 600-page book. You know,
yeah, it's not the Da Vinci Code, but they are a quick read, and I think
love
that's
them.
Fun, and especially for moms and busy people. And a lot of moms used to tell me that they'd either keep them in the bathroom for a quick read, or they'd read them when they were breastfeeding or whatever. You know, you could kind of read them on the fly.
Makes the best read.
Well, you know, it's fun, and I did an event at Barnes & Noble last year, and this mom, her kids were grown, but she came, and she was sitting in the front row reading the book while she was waiting for the event to get started. And she kept laughing out loud and laughing out loud. And I kept saying, well, which chapter are you on? Which chapter are you on? And I said, I'm going to take you to all my events and put you in the front row. And it's just so nice to see people laugh over the stories. And I know that you had pulled a couple of excerpts from the books. And it's always interesting to see what people pick, like the one about when we had the mouse war in our apartment.
That was too hysterical.
That was sort of our last experience in the city before we moved to the suburbs, because of construction in our building, all the mice did come out of the walls and into the apartment, and it was like a horror movie. And Dave and I were up with glue traps and spears and all the buckets and mops and fighting these mice, and we couldn't sleep at night because we'd see them scampering. And of course, it was not funny at all at the time. But you know how life is, Carmen. You get away from something, and you look back and you laugh and you think, "Oh my gosh, that was crazy. How did we even deal with that?"
It's terrible, especially the way you wrote it. It was just the visual itself. I saw it all. You know,
I know. And, you know, the nice thing is, well, as you said, Dave is a very prolific writer, too. And obviously, he's hilariously funny. So he has taken my book and developed a sitcom pilot based on the stories in my book. And we are shopping that around for Why Animals Sleep So Close to the Road and Otherwise I Tell My Children to be a sitcom, because we certainly have the stories based on our four kids growing up.
around Christmas time, holiday time, perfect. It might become a classic. You never know.
People do like family stories, and I think that's why a show like Modern Family is so successful, and people love just to associate with, the exact same thing happened to my family. We have those kind of fights all the time, and people just love to see themselves. So I would love to spin books, because I think books are also tools. You tell your story. For my comedians, it's a calling card. It's a souvenir for people who come to their shows. And for me, I would love to develop all these stories that I've told. You know, our daughter just turned 21, so for 20 years of parenthood, into maybe a TV show, I think would be terrific. A couple of people are actually looking at it. It's very exciting.
They're not fat books. They're jam-packed with so many different things that happen in your life. You can take any one of those things and make it into a story itself.
Absolutely,
like, for example, when you were the icy mound, you know, when the... Your toddler standing.
Yeah, the one time I went out and left Dave with the kids, and they were little, in the snow. And when I came back from 2 seconds at the dry cleaner, our four-year-old, I think he was about four, was standing in the snow in a bathing suit because he didn't want to get his clothes wet. And when I went to Dave and said, "Why is your son standing in the snow in a bathing suit?" He goes, "Which one?" So that's how much he knew about what was going on in his own house or outside his own house.
I couldn't believe that. I was like, "Is this real? Did this really happen?" But it clearly did. It made it
you know,
to the book.
It couldn't be crazier, Carmen. It couldn't be crazier. But it's so fun to talk about these things. And
yes, it is.
I want to do this again because there's always exciting updates. And then I want to hear what story you're going to write for me.
Yes. You know something? I'm seriously thinking of writing a book myself. I don't know if I should make it nonfiction or fiction because, you want to change the names to preserve.
That's right. You have
the
to protect the innocent. Yeah. Okay, Carmen. My publishing company gets first dibs on your book.
Thank you. That's an honor coming from you because I've never considered myself a writer, but I will certainly need some coaching. Is there anything you want to say to folks out there who are aspiring writers?
And I'm saying this to you too, Carmen, don't doubt yourself. Don't say, "Well, I'm not a writer." Just write. Don't worry about the label. Write, sing, get your work out there, and the rest will follow. And it'll give you great joy. I really believe it.
I want to have you back, perhaps maybe for the next book or the next story that you want to tell, or maybe you want to come on with one of your writers or one of the
terrific.
People that you
That's
publish.
Right. Do
a lot
that.
Of fun.
Yay.
Yes, absolutely. If anyone wants to find you, you know, on the social media, or what are your websites and your links, and where can they find your books?
Well, willowstreetpress.com. You can learn all about my books, my company, and there's a contact there, my Gmail address. And then I'm on Twitter at Susan Koenig, SusanKoenig. But look me up on Instagram. You'll see some funny pictures.
Susan Koenig, thank you for joining me on the New York Podcasting Cafe. I really look forward to seeing you and one of your peeps again on the program.
Thanks, Carmen.
You're welcome. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to an interview with 3-time author Susan Koenig. Look her up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And look up all three of her publications on Amazon.com.
And this is my impression of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Down, hut! Get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands! Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Left, 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 and step ball change.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Down, hut! Get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands! Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Left, 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 and step ball change.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.